5 years ago, students at Lincoln Alternative High School in Walla Walla were acting out and getting in trouble. The staff tried the usual disciplinary measures like suspensions for bad behavior, but the dropout rate and failure rates kept climbing. So the staff started looking at students' behavior in a different way.
The behavior isn't the kid. The behavior is a symptom of what's going on in their life.
My mom was like, "You shouldn't leave. She's the only thing I had. And for her to abandon me like that."
His coping mechanism was drinking a ton, smoking a ton.
I remember one night, I didn't want to be alive.
It hit me, and it hit me really hard.
You have to unconditionally love them. And you have to believe that their behavior might be out of their control.
That's a clip from the documentary Paper Tigers. It tells the story of Lincoln Alternative High School in Walla Walla after the principal and staff adopted a trauma-sensitive approach toward students. James Redford is the director of Paper Tigers. He told me the shift to a trauma-sensitive approach included changing the high school's name.
The school was called Payne, ironically.
Called Pain?
I know. It's just a little too ironic to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was called, it was a Pain Alternative High School with an E on the end.
Okay.
You know, it was renamed Lincoln. The change really came about when the principal decided to go take it up a notch in terms of bringing trauma-informed practices into the high school. What does that mean, trauma-informed practices? Well, you know, ultimately, it means pretty simple stuff. In some ways, it's a mindset shift more than anything, which is not taking erratic and combative behavior quite as personally, understanding that the roots of that behavior very often are neurological. You're talking about kids who have been exposed to trauma throughout their whole childhood, and it actually changes the way the brain is wired. So what you're dealing with is not just a character or moral issue. You're dealing with kids, unfortunately, who are wired to be combative, that they walk around every day in a state of fight or flight. And if you understand that, and perhaps you keep them in school rather than throwing them out on the street.
And that seems to be the key of this approach, whereas in the past, these kids acting out, and they did act out. There was a lot of bad behavior going on. They'd get suspended. By the time they got back, if they came back, they'd be that further behind in their schooling. And it just sort of became a self-perpetuating road to failure. Whereas through this approach that they tried at Lincoln, they kind of held the kids close. They kind of wouldn't let them leave the school.
A lot of these kids that talk about have difficulty controlling their temper or paying attention in class, they're just led to think that something's wrong with them. They don't really think about, well, wait a minute, what's happened to me? Maybe there's a reason these things are hard. And they will tell you at the school that they consider social and emotional education their primary focus, and that because the academics simply will not fall into place unless you take care of those things, particularly with these kids.
What were the results they saw at the school by using this approach?
You've seen 3 or 4 times the improvement in graduation rate. You've seen attendance rates go up. You've seen truancy go down. Arrests on campus have dropped dramatically. Acceptance into colleges has increased fivefold. Everything is going in the direction you would want it to go.
How did you get so up close and personal? I mean, watching the documentary, you film a lot of intimate connections between the teachers and the students, between the students and one another. How did you get them to ignore the fact that they had a camera pointing at them?
Well, I'm a father. My kids are 19 and 23 now. So when I was filming this movie, they were just in the throes of, if not just leaving behind, the teenage years. So I knew firsthand that there was no way I was really going to get on the inside with those kids. A lot of this film was their contribution because I decided to give them cameras and have them document their own stories and empower them to tell their own stories and, you know, invite them into the process so that they felt a sense of ownership and control and therefore a sense of safety. Kids are really, they have their own world and their own thoughts and desires, and trying to get that to come out in a interview setting or even in a more sort of verite off-the-cuff setting, it's really hard to do.
Did they give you notes? wait a minute, that was not quite right.
You know, I was, you know, expecting more, frankly. I have been in many situations making documentary films where you have to be very careful. You're dealing with people's personal narratives in their lives. My own son was featured in a film I did about dyslexia. And, you know, one of the things I learned on that project is that frozen narratives can be problematic. You know, it's a point in time. Someone feels a certain way about something. They have a worldview. They have a values orientation towards the world. And particularly with a young person, that can change over 2 to 3 years. And, you know, in my son's case, he's now 23, and some of the things he felt, he doesn't feel anymore. And certainly with the kids at Lincoln, it's the same
way.
Sure.
Well, did any of them say, I really wish you hadn't put that in the film?
One of the young girls in the film was on her own account, a sort of destructive relationship. And it wasn't long after that relationship ended that she came to look at it as not her brightest moment in life. And having that documented in a major film is difficult for her. At the same time, she's never suggested that we alter her to do anything. She just feels like, oh boy, great. Now everybody gets to see that part.
James Redford, the director of Paper Tiger, is a documentary about how Lincoln Alternative School in Walla Walla turned around their students. The film premiered last night at the Seattle International Film Festival. It screens once more tomorrow.